our lives, absolute essentials, is to read the Word of God on a daily basis, to be nourished, to be fed, to be strengthened, to be blessed, to listen to God speaking to us as He does in the Bible. That is critical. If we're not doing that, then I'm afraid we're going to grow slowly. But the other very, very important area is to pray. The reading of the Word and prayer are of top priority for me. And it's interesting, there's so many outstanding books on prayer, but Samuel Chadwick has written an outstanding book, and he said this. He said, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the Christian from praying. He fears nothing from our prayerless studies, our prayerless work, our prayerless religion. In fact, he laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. And my brothers and sisters, the amazing thing that you and I learn as we read church history is that whenever the church has really taken prayer seriously, God is moved. In reviving power, Africa has experienced one of the greatest revivals in the history of the church. And you read about the East African revival or the Welsh revival in the early 1900s, when it hit right across Wales. Both of those revivals were preceded by times of prayer. So, all I want to share with you is on your prayer life. I wonder how it's going tonight. We just pause there for a moment. How are your times with Jesus going right now in prayer? Then the Ravenhill says that for many, our prayer times are clockwork, cramped, and confused. So we pray for the same things over and over. They're confused because we really don't know how to do it. And they are clockwork cramped because we've got to rush to school, or we've got to head off to the office, we've got so much to do. So the one thing that gets affected is our prayer life. So with that by way of background, where can we learn how to pray? Now what we're going to do over these next few Sunday nights is take you through Luke's Gospel. So if you'll turn to it with me, the Gospel of St. Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and turn to chapter 11, and I'm just going to read the first four verses. Luke, chapter 11, and verses 1 to 4. Luke 11, and verses 1 to 4. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Isn't that an amazing thing, friends? You never read of the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, please teach us how to evangelize, or please teach us how to run meetings, or please teach us how to run our youth, or please teach us how to be more effective. You don't read that. It just struck me. You do read of how they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to Brainard and Simeon and Rutherford and Wesley and Whitfield. These men used to know what it was like to grab hold of God for prolonged periods of time every day. And Jesus says, I'll teach you. So what you're going to do is show you how Jesus taught those disciples to pray. And you will notice there that there are seven steps. He's going to deal with the first one tonight. Whenever you come to prayer, it always begins with worship. Isn't that amazing? And once you have done that, then he says, now pray, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. There are six requests that we'll go through one a week if that's all right. But you see where we begin? And that's what I want to share with you tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven. My friends, when we pray, we begin with worship. We never, ever go straight into asking for things or anything else. We begin with worship. But, and very kindly put it up there for us, Jesus urges us then to pray to our Father. That's where we begin, says Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray, and he begins by the word Father. Now, let's ask ourselves, in what sense is he Father? Well, in a very general sense, he is Father by creation. Remember Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 says, have we not all one Father? In a general sense, God is Father through creation. Specifically, friends, for you and for me who have become Christians, he has become Father through election. Remember Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, he has chosen us in Christ. He's chosen us. But you are among those that were chosen and predestined by God the Father to become his child. When did this happen? Before the creation of the world, you are in the heart of God. He is my Father by creation. He is my Father by election. But he is my Father by grace. When the fullness of time had come, you remember that lovely verse, friends? Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Remember that? Born of a woman and born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. Why? The next verse is this. And because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit into your hearts so that you cry, Abba, Father. The first time we went to Israel, and it was fantastic. It really was. It just struck me so strongly. We walked into the streets of Jerusalem, and you see these little Jewish boys saying, Abba, 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 Abba. We were there. And you know what, my brothers and sisters, tonight, it's what's happened to you. I want to tell you, it's overwhelming that you and I were sinners. And guilty, God could love. And Jesus died on a cross for us. And the moment you put your faith in him, his Spirit comes to live in your life, and he becomes your Father. Secondly, what kind of Father is he? What does the Bible tell us about him? So that when I begin my prayers, this is where I begin. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. What kind of Father is he? Well, he's a perfect Isaiah 48 says, your Father which in heaven is perfect. I know that. But I suppose one of the greatest privileges that both Mary and I have in life is that we have both had perfect human dads. My dad was my greatest friend. My friend. My best friend. I never, for 12 years at school, ever went onto a cricket game or a tennis court or a squash match or played a game of golf. My dad was there. I worship my dad because he loved me. I don't know why, but he did. But everybody has that great experience. When he died, I took years to get over it. My dad was gone. But I've got a lovely dad in heaven. He's perfect. You see, our Father in heaven, friends, he's perfect. He's not only perfect, but he's wise. See, when I come to prayer, I come to a wise dad. Remember 1 Timothy 1:17, the only wise God. He always knows what is best. He always knows what is right. He knows what afflictions are good for us. Dad knows. My gracious Father in heaven always does what is best. We don't need to question, we don't need to doubt, we don't need to ask why. No, he's my Father, my perfect, wise Father. He's a loving Father. Tells us in 1 John 4:16, God is love. And in Zephaniah 3:17, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. There's no Father in this world like our Heavenly Father who loves us. But not only that, he will never die. In 1984, my dad died. But my Father will never die. So when I come to prayer tomorrow morning, I open my Bible and I talk to God. How do I start? Pray for my kids? No. Pray for my wife? No. Pray for my work? No. Pray for myself? No. Pray for my country? No. Pray for the coming elections? No. Where do I start? Father, you are my Father. You have saved me. And you are wise and loving and perfect. I want to just spend some time with my Father. The third thing about Father is what happiness is how we come out through what he's done for us. Well, there are a couple of things. Dan's bringing up there very kindly for us. The first thing is that he now teaches us. Remember Isaiah 48:17 says, I'm the Lord your Father who teaches you. And so every day, friends, every day, as a child of God, takes the time to open the Bible and to allow the Spirit to speak to us every day. Never mind, I know you've heard it before, but it just comes to mind. Forgive me one more time. He was an ordained minister in the Church of England, and he wasn't a Christian. Leading communion, baptizing kids, preaching, and he wasn't saved. And one day he became a Christian, and he wrote these words in his diary. A beautiful words. Jesus says, my mind is now open and enlarged. I began to read the Bible on my knees. I laid aside every other book. And I began to pray over, if possible, every word and line. Jesus proved to be meat indeed for my soul. Every day I receive from God fresh light, fresh power, and fresh love from above. You see, every day, no running cold, no wandering, no backsliding, no drifting, never, ever. That was George Whitfield. God taught him. Not only that, but our happiness comes because you are showered with affection. As our Purifi forces, Zanzibar was precious, precious in my sight. Remember Ephesians. So that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's our Father, that's the happiness we have. He teaches us, He showers us with affection, and He's full of sympathy. He's full of sympathy. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. Not only that, but He disciplines those who He loves. And you will find, if you're growing, you're going to be disciplined. And loving Father disciplines. That's exactly what Jesus, Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And when there are areas in our lives that are not honoring to Him, He'll discipline you, my friend. He will do that. He's a loving, precious, precious Father. He makes sure that no evil will befall us. Psalm 91:10, there will no evil befall you. Everything that's happening in your life is only for your good all the time. There's no evil. And He promises that we will want for nothing. Remember Psalm 34 says, those who seek the Lord will not want for any good thing. Or Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your need. And they tough times are in. Money's very, very tight. People are battling. People are having to give up their homes. There's retrenchment. There's unemployment. It's tough out there. But you know what? For the Christian, God says, I'll look after you. You will never, ever be in need. I will provide all your need. Not only that, but He promises that we can go with confidence to the throne of grace. Remember that lovely verse in Hebrews 4? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. And then lastly, He will honor us on the final day of judgment. Matthew 13:43. There the righteous will shine as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Look over my prayers. I think, sorry, Lord. Sorry. I ran into requests. I ran into complaints. I ran into these things without just pausing as Jesus told me to do. And said, I want to worship my Father. My Father. By election and by grace. My perfect, wise, loving Father. Always teaching us, showering His affection, full of sympathy, full of discipline. What an honored position for this is to hold, friends. Greater than any earthly leader. What an amazing title is yours. You're a son, a daughter of God. So that's the first thing. And I pray. And I pray. Father. The moment I use the name Father, my mind just wanders and my heart stirs up. And I think, wow, with an awesome like that. I only became a Christian in Madrid. That's the late 1967. That's when I became a Christian. I never knew Jesus before that. Father. Number two. What's the second thing we remember as we come to prayer? And tying that in with Matthew's Gospel, our Father who art in heaven. So that's my second thing. Now tomorrow morning when I come to my time of prayer, before I launch into requests, I come to worship God. I remember Him as my Father, and then I remember Him in heaven. In heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Now, why is that there in the Bible? Well, the first thing is, because it reminds us of His sovereign power. That's what it reminds us of. See, the great commentator, John Calvin, said, in heaven, He governs caterpillar for the good of his children. When the saints are in danger and in difficulty, when they see no way of relief, it's from heaven that he sends help and grace to them. So now I'm coming to my place tomorrow morning and I remember, oh, he's my Father. Where is he? He's in heaven. And that reminds me that he's in absolute, total, sovereign control of everything. It also reminds me of his glory, and his majesty. He's not my buddy. I must be careful of irreverence. He is God. Where is he? He is in heaven. And there in heaven, we are conscious that he knows everything. You know, Hebrews 4:13, before him, no creature is hidden. We are all open, laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we will have to do. That's a frightening verse for the unsaved. So I must remind myself when I come to prayer of my Father, that he's in heaven. He's clothed with glory and majesty, and he rules and he reigns. He's in absolute control of my life. I can go into today and I can say it's going to be a great day. Because he's going to make sure that whatever happens is for my good. And just lastly, when I come to prayer, before I launch into my requests, I use the word, Our Father. Our Father. Now that is also very, very important. Because now the reminder is that we are grouped together with many, many, many lovely Christians. Not only here in Quinetown, but all over the world. And it's a great thing that. And so when I come to prayer tomorrow morning and I say, How? Father. I must make sure that everything is okay in the family. If that is true, what tender relationships there should be with those in the family of God, if I am harsh or unforgiving or critical or resentful or unkind to a fellow brother or sister, how can I come and kneel before God and say, Our Father? I can't. I can't do that. So I've got to make sure that I am in love and in unity with my brothers and sisters. Jesus said to the disciples, Lord, please teach us how to pray. Jesus said, remember the first thing when you come to prayer. Father, spend a few moments just being lost. Read a hymn if you don't know what to pray about. Or read a passage of scripture. Or read something from Oswald Chambers. Just something that's going to help you to remember the glory of Father. That God is my Father by grace and by election. That God loves me and will provide for me and showers his affection on me. And so I come and I thank him and I worship him. And then I remember he's in heaven. And he's a sovereign, majestic, glorious God. And I say, Our Father in heaven. And I make sure that I am right with my dear brothers and my sisters in Christ. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And you know, brothers and sisters, once we've been there for a few moments, I don't want to put any time, well, that's not right. But you've been alone with your gracious God and Father. Then, what's your first request? Number one, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? We'll never look at that on the next Sunday. Thy kingdom come. It's the second request. And you pray about that. And thy will be done on earth. And you pray about that. But you begin with our Father, which are in heaven. Let's pray. Please teach us, Lord, how to pray in a more meaningful and a more wonderful way. That from tonight, each one of us in this room may experience such precious, precious moments in the presence of our Father in heaven. Help us to treat one another with love and humility, and to be lost in a reminder of your love. And we are reminded, Lord, that Satan doesn't worry about our work or our studies or our running around, but he does tremble when we pray. Please help us to pray. Amen.